There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Violet Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Bounces short, rebound Jaylen Brown, can't tap it in, and the clock will hit triple zeros, and the ball game is over. The Celtics kept digging themselves holes in this game. The bench would dig them out of it, but at the end, it's the Nets that cross the finish line first. A brilliant performance this afternoon from Spencer Dinwiddie, playing again for Kyrie. 32 points, 11 assists, as the Nets split the two-game series with the Celtics. The final score, Brooklyn 112, Boston 107.
Start of the game really hurt us. Yeah, I thought they were more ready probably than we were, and they really punched us in the mouth. And, you know, scored 22 points in the first 6 minutes. Any day that you let a team get going like that, it's probably going to be a long day. Brooklyn did a great job, played really well, played really hard, played with a lot of purpose, and deserved the win. And, you know, our guys stayed in it and tried to give the effort to get back. And but, you know, we dug ourselves too big of a hole.
Yeah, and way too many turnovers. As the Celtics had a home-and-home with the Brooklyn Nets, second of that, yesterday afternoon in Brooklyn, as they lose to the Nets 112-107. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, you, 617-779-0985. This is the time to talk Celtics between now and 1 p. If there's anything pertaining to this team you'd like to talk about, and, of course, former members of this team, Kyrie Irving. Because going back to Wednesday night before the Thanksgiving, when they took game one of the home and home, 121-110, entertaining night. But Sean Silver's alongside as well. Sean was in the building that night. I was with my lovely wife. I think most of you were in the building that night, that you were really lusting for one thing, and that was to boo Kyrie Irving. Boo. Boo. Are they booing me, Smithers? No, they're saying boo Earns. No, the people were lusting to boo Kyrie Irving, Chris. And, of course, he was a no-show. He's had this, and I'm using air quotes here, shoulder injury. And then the big story that comes out of this, for those of that have been paying attention, maybe you've just been with your family, with the holiday and everything. Kyrie Irving, 11 minutes, really, after the final buzzer on Wednesday night's win, took to Instagram.
It's just directed just at you, Jim.
It really, I mean, it's to me, and my ilk. Here he puts out a manifesto of sorts that reads as follows. Kyrie Irving on Instagram from his Instagram story. It happened because mercilessly, even though he wasn't there, and credit to the crowd, we got into it too. Oh, so much fun. Where is Kyrie? Kyrie sucks. And boy, was it loud. I'll give really, so like for the, and you're often mocked on Felger and Maz as, you know, green teamers and whatnot. And tends to be go that way because, you know, you pump up the likes of Jay Crowder and it happens. I didn't know you guys had it in you. That I really felt good. And even, you know, Jasmine said to me, she's like, I didn't think Celtics fans were like this. Like that there was some venom there. So good job Wednesday night. What with the chance for Kyrie, even though that puss wasn't in the building. So how did Kyrie feel about it? Well, again, he takes to Instagram and writes the following. It happens all the time, and tonight just shows how sports / entertainment will always be ignorant and obtrusive. He's using that word incorrectly, right? Obtrusive, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't really think it's obtrusive, but go ahead.
It's one big show, all caps, that means very, very little in the real world that most people live in, because they are actually things that matter going on within it. Like figuring out a life that means more to you than a damn ball going into a hoop. Or learning how to grow up being in a fishbowl of a society based on your popularity level as a person. Or even dealing with becoming the leader of your family after someone's passing and not knowing how to deal with life after it happens. But this game of sports entertainment matters more than someone's mental health and well-being. Right? Or the real-life things that happen to people every day. But they still have to perform for the NBA and its fans. Right? It's all about doing it for the fans, an organization that love you so much. Think again. It's a game. And it's promoted as a fandom experience for ticket buyers and viewers at home, while defacing who people truly are is people, then spat out all over these media networks as valuable food for thought while they actually believe their opinions hold weight to real cultural leaders that speak and act for change. One big gimmick with some smoke and mirrors. I'll always be the one that takes the stand and speaks on truth every time, though. A purposeful and spiritually led life will always be bigger and more meaningful than any sports arena or any entertainment space. This game isn't meant to be controlled and shown as a drama. It's meant to show the love. Love for the art is only the damn thing that keeps the purest people in the giant sports entertainment circus. Don't fall for the game that's being played in front of you as entertainment. It'll never be as serious as dealing with, and then like size 56 font, life.
Size 56 font.
He is just a pill, man. He, in that post, I'm like, I'm not even reading this. This isn't worth my time. But then again, like, I have a lot of time in my hands. So what am I going to do? Yes, I you know what?
And so you paused The Irishman and said, let me read this.
As part of the job. Yeah, it's the job. I got to be a professional, unlike Kyrie. I got to read this damn thing. And you know what? That whole thing, that whole stupid manifesto that is just so wordy. And again, he just always tries to come
it's
off.
It's just
as
a
the
word salad.
It is. And he just always tries to come off as the smartest guy in the room. And I'm the intellectual here. He's a faux intellectual. That's what makes it. Those are the most frustrating people on the planet. That thing reads to me as this. I don't really care about my job. I don't. Like, if I'm the owner of the Nets, if I'm the one that actually signs his paycheck, now this bloated max contract that he got with the Brooklyn Nets this offseason, I look at this and be like, so you think your job's a joke? Like, dude, like, we get it. And I'm not typically the, hey, just shut up and shoot hoops kind of thing. Like, and just put the ball in the basket.
That's not your style.
But this irks the hell out of me.
Like,
this,
I can tell.
Yeah, it's just because it's just so disingenuous. And oh, like, dude, you're mad because you got booed.
It's very pretentious and condescending.
Yeah. And that same night, Anthony Davis took his booing like a man and went back to New Orleans.
40.
Yeah.
Oh, the looks on the faces of those Pelican fans. It was so delicious. Oh, just the frozen stone faces as he's just eviscerating their team. And oh, it was fantastic.
It shows to me that he's got a lack of a competitive streak that I find borderline offensive.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen, look, and he's hit one of the biggest shots in finals history.
Yeah, I agree.
But he thinks, he almost feels like he comes off to me as he looks at this job as a burden. Being an NBA player is more of a burden than a joy.
Yeah.
And if he had any, okay, so maybe it's a real injury, but I don't really believe it.
But he's still missing games. Yeah, he's going to miss the Miami game.
But if he had half the sack of Anthony Davis, he shows up the other night, and you mentioned it last week. Wouldn't it be more delicious if he showed up and he's getting relentlessly booed and people are chanting Kyrie sucks and he drops 50?
Yeah.
Even I would appreciate that. And he didn't. And instead he takes to Instagram and posts this kind of stuff, and it's like, dude, you're a child and you don't take your job seriously. And that, it's not even so much about the money, but just as a professional. And like, you are so lucky that you get to be a professional basketball player and this is the kind of act you have. Like, you don't really even care about your job. I mean, treat your job like a burden.
I mean, I do think he cares about the job, but I think there are elements of it that he doesn't like, which is interesting. Here's the biggest thing I say about Kyrie, and this is how I can sort of break it down for you. With Kyrie, everything has to be on his terms. So it's, okay, I don't want to get booed and blamed for what happened last year and for saying I would stay and then reversing that decision. But at the same time, you know, I want you to buy my sneakers and watch my movies. Like, it's sort of, and this is completely different, but it almost reminds me a lot of ways of, like, you know, when Tim Thomas was doing all his political stuff. It's like he wants to use the platform to advance his beliefs. And the same with Kyrie, you know, the flat earth theory and some of the other stuff. He wants to use the platform to advance his beliefs, but then he doesn't want to be questioned on it. He doesn't want the attention that comes with that platform and people saying, well, I disagree with you or I don't like you. And so it's a double-edged sword. But he only wants the edge that works for him. And that, to me, is really his biggest issue, is that he just can't reconcile the fact that the platform he has that allows him to disseminate all the views he has and to be able to sell the products that he sells and to be able to have an acting career. It's that there's a downside to that platform, and it sucks, but you have to suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, he just, oh, boy. Good luck with that, Brooklyn. And then weird flex from their fans at the Barclays Center yesterday, where towards the end they're chanting, "You need Kyrie." Like, hey, you have him. You overpaid for him. You don't need him. You're better without him. you know, some of them like Spencer Dinwiddie, who had like 33 points or whatever the hell it was yesterday. Like you're playing better without Kyrie. That's a weird flex from you people, but sure, I get it. You know, we were booing your guy the other night, but
well, didn't they have it some chant last year or something like you know, Kyrie's leaving or something? I feel like they had that chant last year.
Odd fan base, but I don't know. Like if nothing else, I'm just so happy that he's now somebody else's problem, and I understand it, like, based on some of the comments, and we're going to go to Marcus Smart's comments after yesterday's game, like, he's over it, and now he's looking at it as a slap in the face if you're not focusing on the Celtics, you're still stuck on Kyrie. Like, I don't know, like, he left a stain here. And people here, rightfully, I don't think are over it yet. I think once we get past Christmas and this team is playing well and it looks like they're going to be poised for a deep playoff run, like, people will forget about it. But for now, and now that he felt like he ducked this game, or at least was there yesterday and ducked a little bit, and, like, he's dapping up everyone after the game, like, I get it. It's the holidays. Everyone fakes it a little bit. That's what some of those guys were doing yesterday. So you're going to put on a bit of a show, but I don't know. People aren't over it yet. We'll get there, but we're just not ready. Chris Forsberg thinks we should probably get over it, though. We're going to talk to him next from NBC Sports Boston and talk about the performance of the Celtics in these last couple of games and as of late as well. I also want to know if he likes these terrible new uniforms that they have.
The only thing worse than those are the cement mixer gray uniforms, which are a disgrace. But these are, oh, my God.
Who the hell approved these?
Whose kids got a hold of the crayons to draw these uniforms?
Chris Forsberg will join us next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Dedicated to your Celtics, Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, there is no hard feelings. I mean, I didn't hug Kyrie to get on TV, you know. There's two guys, you know, that are trying to make a living for their family, being professional athletes. It's my brother, you know, regardless of what he did, you know. He works hard. And quite frankly, I'm really honestly tired of hearing about Kyrie. Kyrie's no longer with the Boston Celtics. And it's a slap across everybody on this team that's here now to keep hearing Kyrie's name, because every last one of these guys have put in the work. And we continue to put in the work. And we're here. We're still competing. But yeah, everybody, including the Boston fans, want to talk about Kyrie. Let's talk about Boston Celtics.
Marcus Smart has had enough of the Kyrie talk. It was yesterday after the loss to the Brooklyn Nets, second of the home and home Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 the Sports Hub. He's over it. Chris Forsberg sounds like he's also over it as well. He joins us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hey, Chris.
What up? What's going on?
Not too much. How was your Thanksgiving, all right?
That was great. It's great. Yours?
Excellent. Thank you very much. So we should get over it, huh? Or at least until March when the Brooklyn Nets are slated to come back and Kyrie will likely duck that game as well.
So listen, it's never going to go away, right? Because you can't tell the story of the 2019-20 Celtics without invariably referencing all that went wrong last year and all that had to change for them to sort of make the strides they have this year. And yet, I get it from Marcus's perspective. And I think especially Marcus, because, look, from a reporter standpoint, we've all ran to Marcus this week and said, hey, Kyrie's coming back. What do you think about that? And he was pretty open and honest about it, but he must have told the same stories 14 times. And instead of us focusing on what all the good that the Celtics are doing, we've sort of defaulted to, you know, telling the story through the lens of, well, you know, why didn't it go right last year? And here's all the things that Kyrie was responsible for. And, you know, I think they just tried really hard to move on from it. And it's got to be frustrating for them to sort of keep kind of coming, circling back to it. But again, it's going to bubble up in 3 months, whether he has a right shoulder impingement again in March or not. And we'll have the same conversation. So it'll never be too far. But I get it that I'd like to focus on someone other than the Instagram poster, too.
I'll say this, though. You know, I think Marcus Smart's kind of looking at this wrong. Marcus Smart and the guys on the team should be thankful that the entire focus and burden for that failure of a season last year has been put on Kyrie, which is frankly revisionist history, because he's right. You know, there are a lot of guys who are still there who are part of that disaster, and they're not getting any of the blowback. It's all going to Kyrie. So Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who could have done a better job accepting their roles, they're not getting any of the blowback. It's all on Kyrie. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, you know, these guys, I understand the frustration. He's basically saying, hey, we're having a good season. Give us our due. I get that. But the reality is, for fans to fully put last year behind them, this team is going to have to get through this entire regular season and then get past the second round of the playoffs. So I think Marcus Smart has it twisted a little bit, because the reality is Kyrie has become a dartboard that has prevented other people from getting their share of blame, who are still here, for what happened last year.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we've gone from different ends of the spectrum. I think when Kyrie first left, everyone was like, well, he was 100% the problem, and it was his mood, and it dragged everything down. And there's some truth to that, but was it the whole problem? No. And so if everything that these guys learned from last year has made them a better team this year. So, you know, Jason Tatum's taking better shots, and Jaylen Brown is being more aggressive and improved his ball handling and all the things that sort of trapped him last year. You know, Smart's doing a lot of the same stuff, but it's just maybe more spotlighted now. And so everybody, and Gordon Hayward especially, right? Like Gordon Hayward, a healthier Gordon Hayward has made a world of a change, but he just wasn't ready last year. And so all those things contributed to the Celtics being terrible and the disaster that was their season. Now, if you want to tell me that Kyrie deserves a bigger chunk because his moodiness and how much it affected the team and some of the decisions he made in the playoffs, I'm willing to go there. But certainly I think, you know, as you said, like Marcus should be sitting here saying, you know, we learned from last year. I understand why it's a topic, but we just really want to focus on the guys in this locker room. And that would probably be the better approach. And listen, if Kyrie had been out there on Wednesday night, I wonder if it would have faded a little bit more. Then we boo him. You know, he has his little post game where he says whatever he says. You know, then March doesn't become such a big deal anymore. But unfortunately, it's just going to sort of hover and linger until he's out there.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Also, I think, you know, the NBA schedule contributed to it. Obviously, having the back-to-back games against the Nets. But the other part of it for me, too, is that these, you know, look, there's a couple of things here. One, last year, just overall, we talked about this, Chris. I mean, that was one of the more disappointing seasons, not only in Celtics history, but really in recent Boston sports history. So, again, you know, I'm not chastising Marcus Smart, but it's going to take the fans a little while to get over that season. You know, I think it's going to take more than 18 games to wipe away that stain. And that would be sort of my only point. And then my other question to you would be, is this sort of an example of maybe Marcus Smart, for better or worse, stepping up and sort of filling like a leadership void that might exist on the Celtics now that Kyrie's gone and there is no sort of pre-anointed leader?
Yeah, 100%. And I think just going back to the idea that we all ran to Marcus this week to sort of get that angle is that, you know, he's the one guy. Like, who else do you turn to? I mean, Jaylen Brown clearly doesn't want to talk about last season. Jason Tatum is, for all his talents, is still kind of learning how to be a vocal guy. There's no Al Horford here anymore. There's no 10-year veteran to go lean on. And so Marcus was always kind of that guy even before, you know, this season. But, you know, more so than ever, they need sort of that public spokesman, the guy who steps up in front of the mics, whether it's the win or a loss, who, you know, typically toes the company line and or at least gives you a very human reaction and doesn't get too caught up in the hyperbole. But I think Marcus, we all know, is, you know, it's by far the longest tenured guy. He's got to be the one that sort of is the vocal leader of this team. And I think he knows that. I think it's same deal. You know, maybe he was trying to I've heard it said, too, that he's trying to take a little bit of heat off of Kyrie, you know, because they're friendly, and maybe he's just sick of hearing about, you know, he knows how much it bothers Kyrie. But I don't know. I think it's more from the Celtics perspective. They just want to put the focus on this team.
Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, covering the Celtics. So yesterday's game, it's a season low 16 assists. They had 19 turnovers. They got the slow start. Is any reason for concern there, or was that just a hiccup because maybe the early start or a Thanksgiving Day hangover or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They've had now two stinkers in matinee games. And so, you know, some teams just don't play well early, but that's not really an excuse. They were sloppy. You know, Jason Tatum had a bunch of turnovers at the start there. Really sort of everyone got infected by that. But I think he finished with six. You know, as good as he was scoring the ball, you can't give the ball up that much. They had a lot of live ball turnovers going the other way. It's just bad defense on the perimeter. Dinwiddie was able to get past the first line of defense, whether that was Marcus Smart or anybody else. And when he wasn't finishing, he was kicking out to open shooters, and they've got plenty of good guys like Joe Harris out there making threes. And so, you know, that's probably one of those games where they probably should win against the level of competition. You know, they don't have Durant. They don't have LeBert. They don't have Kyrie out there. It's probably a team you should beat. And yet, you know, this is what happens when you're not careful with the ball, when you don't hit your three-point shots. The Celtics aren't good enough offensively without Hayward and without all their guys. When Kemba has an off night, to sort of hang in there when another team is making 17 three-pointers. You know, they won on Wednesday night when they hit 21 threes because they played at least a better bearing of defense when they weren't hitting those threes and at least turned it up at some point. They just never felt that way yesterday. And so, you know, listen, it was a little jarring because they've been so competitive and they've won the games they've taken care of that they should have this year. So a little awkward to see them like let one get away.
Do you get the impression that it's like, I don't know, because it feels like a shell game with what Brad Stevens is doing at center, that he's still searching?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the fairest way to put it. You know, I'll say this. Tice has been really good. And listen, he has his limitations. You can't put him out there against the likes of Embiid and expect him to joust with him. But
I thought he was awesome. A good job. I thought he was awesome Wednesday night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, Tice gets a lot of flack, but I feel like he's, for what he is, when now that he's healthy and the meniscus injury that took him down a couple years ago, he can get out to the three-point line. He hustles. He taps rebounds. Like, he does a lot of good things. It's just, you can't put him out there against bigger, beefier bigs, or he's just not built for that. And yesterday was just, it seemed like an off day. They pulled him pretty early there in the second half. You know, tried to lean on Cantor, which they're trying to do more because as Cantor gets healthier, you can see he can help you offensively. So on a day like yesterday where you don't have anything going, you can just throw it into him and hope he hits a couple hook shots or does what he does. And so, listen, I still don't subscribe to the idea that they have to rush out and fix that position right now. I think you can still get a look at what you've got. I mean, Robert Williams had some really encouraging moments yesterday, the little left hook, hand hook on the baseline, the actually hitting a shot beyond 10 feet for the first time in his career. You know, if he can start doing those things, then all of a sudden those lobs become a little bit easier to get and he can be a little bit more impactful and he's got strides to make defensively. But I want to see if any of these guys are guys they can lean on before you start scouring the buyout market in February and March and trying to figure out if you need a little bit of an upgrade there to deal with who you'll see in the East playoffs.
Chris, do you feel like what Brad Wanamaker's done over the last 2 weeks or so, is that sustainable? I mean, he's been great. And for a team that needs guys off the bench, if this is what he's going to be, that's a real find and a real advantage for the Celtics.
Yeah, especially because they need something off their bench right now. The rookies are just struggling, right? Like Grant Williams hasn't hit a three-pointer yet, and Carson Edwards is more down than up so far. And unfortunately, that preseason game in Cleveland probably set the expectation level too high for him. So while you're trying to get everybody else to find the rhythm and find ways they can contribute, it's nice that you got this, the, you know, 30-year-old NBA sophomore who can come off the bench and at least be steady and give you something that you certainly need without Gordon Hayward there to help with the ball handling. Is it sustainable? Like, I don't know. I actually thought when they signed Wanamaker this offseason that it was a little curious for both sides. I thought Wanamaker really didn't play enough last year to really want to be back here, and especially with the healthier lineup. I thought it would be hard for him to find minutes, and I thought the Celtics might be more, you know, interested in using that roster spot another way. But, you know, to both sides' credit, they saw something, and he, like, listen, Brad Stevens talked up Brad Wanamaker every opportunity about his professionalism and the way he can throw him in there. I'll say, like, long term, I'm more intrigued at what Tremont Waters can do and what he can bring to that position. But certainly, there's no need to rush him this year. And you only got 45 days with him on the two way. I don't think you're going to rush to elevate him to the parent roster. So, you know, Brad Wanamaker is fine, and if he plays as steady as he has, he deserves those minutes.
All right, Chris. Before we let you go, quickly, yay or nay on these city uniforms?
I'm a nay. I'd like, so here's my whole thing, and I don't want to run your clock out here, but. Like, I just want something different. Like, the don't give me, like, some random a Gaelic font or whatever the hell this Irish pub look is. Give me, like, a splash of orange. Give me some neon. Like, I want something unique. And listen, if it sucks, it sucks. But at least give me a reason to, like, want to go buy this jersey, to at least be something different. And what they're doing right now is just too close to the vest. It's too safe. And I know all this, oh, it's a franchise rooted in tradition and you can't go outside the box. Just give me something that's interesting. If you look at their practice facility, they have all these, like, accent walls in orange, and it's awesome. Like, give me a splash of orange in the jersey and let's just try it.
I love the one, the mock-up that someone made of the white one with the paint, yes, on the gas tanker in Dorchester. That I would have bought that in 2 seconds.
100%. I think sometimes you just got to take risks. And, you know, like, if you consider the font a risk on this one, I just don't think it's enough. And God bless the people that work on these jerseys, because they spend 3 years, like, trying to go through these prototypes and trying to figure out what's safe and what they can do. And I know it's a lot of hard work and it's a really tough decision, but end of the day, just get a little different. We don't have the luxury of other teams like the Vancouver Grizzly throwbacks and stuff like that. You got to just be different.
Yeah, Chris, the same people that like these jerseys are the same people that like that terrible movie Boondock Saints. They just love all things bad
terrible
and
people.
Irish. Yeah. Chris
terrible
Forsberg, people. NBC Sports Boston. Check him out on Twitter as well, at Chris Forsberg_. Thanks for taking the time, Chris.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Chris.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie Irving just signed for 4 years and $141 million. Mm-hmm. That is an average of over $35 million a year. No money is not everything, and we all get that. But damn it, it's your job. Fans don't particularly care to hear about that when you're not playing.
Stephen A. Smith on ESPN on Kyrie Irving's little Instagram manifesto after Wednesday night's Brooklyn loss to the Celtics. And as you heard, the fans that night, myself included, Sean Silver as well, chanting, "Kyrie sucks, Kyrie sucks." Chris in the car, your thoughts here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Chris.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thanks.
Same to you.
Yeah, thanks. God, no, thank you. I want to go in a couple of different directions, but what made me the most angry, which is the reason I called in, was the whole Thanksgiving. Oh, what are you thinking about Thanksgiving, Kyrie? Thanksgiving. And, Murray, please remind me. I know we talked about it maybe Thursday on the Felger Mass show. It was like after a really bad, you know, that's what really drove me nuts about him, guys. And I had a lot much more to say, but that's what pissed me. And I love Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Hate the guy.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I mean, that had to do with his mother was Native American roots.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. He had some indigenous, you know, heritage, and he had gone in the off season to the tribe that his mother was a part of. So I think there was an element there. I mean, the guy's also just an iconoclast, let's be honest about it. But yeah, I think his heritage factored into it. I was more offended that he said that to Abby Chen, you know, who's like the nicest person in the world.
Right.
You know, and Abby's just trying to do a nice thing.
Just
and
trying
it's like,
to
that
get some audio.
Yeah, I mean, she's just, you know, wishing, like legitimately trying to wish him a happy holiday. And the snap back and clap back at a female like that, I thought was uncalled for.
Well, yeah, what was the one on the, it was towards the end of the season. It was a Sunday game, I believe it was against the Milwaukee Bucks. They caught him walking through the tunnel and what did he say? He was like, "I hate this ass."
Oh, like, "I hate this ass." Or "I'll be happy when this ass is over."
That was the one I found like the worst of all. Like, again, like, dude, like, can you just be a professional for 5 minutes? I know it's been, you know, you're mercurial and things haven't gone the way that you want them because everything has to be absolutely perfect for Kyrie Irving. But that kind of thing, like, and that's usually where I feel like a lot of dudes in the NBA, like, they like that little catwalk. They use it as the catwalk.
They
show
it
up
is.
Their outfits and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't. Oh, the burden. Oh, poor you. John in the car.
This is not true.
People going to learn. If you do that, you put us on hold. You're just getting hung up on. I hate that bit. Peter in Jamaica Plain. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hello. I think Danny made a mistake with that last roster spot. Tremont Williams and Waters, I'm sorry. And he came up. He's killing the G League, for one thing. But when he came up, Brad Stevens played him in the one game he played. He played him 20 minutes, and we don't win that game against the Kings. He came in with such a spark. The guy is so talented. So either him as the last roster spot or Taco set the G League record with 16 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, but he's hurt. He's hurt for like he banged up his knee, so he's on the shelf for like the next couple of weeks.
But either one of those guys, because he's not playing Javonte Green. I mean, we got a million wings. But then I have a question, maybe for Chris or either one of you guys. I understand the two-way contract for this year, 45 days, but they can't play in the playoffs, which sucks. What I want to know is contractually, I don't understand this, so I was trying to find it on the internet. What is their status for next year?
Chris?
Are they under contract to the Celtics? Are they free agents? I don't know.
I believe they're under contract to the team, but I'll be honest, I don't fully know.
Idea.
You know, I don't know how it works with those two-way designations. So I'm just going to be honest about that. But when I look at it, the one thing I'll just say is, like, I think you have to be – look, I like what I saw from Waters. And, you know, as we're sort of looking at this roster, you know, I'm sort of looking at it and thinking, like, Grant Williams is really struggling. You know, is he a guy that should be down in the G League? I don't know. But what I would say just in general when you sort of look at G League stuff is you have to take it with a grain of salt. And there's really good players. Like, you know, Siakam was a G League guy. There are some guys that come out of there and blow up. But also I remember guys like James Young going down there and RJ Hunter and lighting it up. and that didn't translate for them. And frankly, if you're a draft pick and you go down to the G League and don't light it up, like, that's a red flag. Like, it means more to me if you go down there and struggle. That's more telling than if you go down there and light it up. You know what I mean? I just think you have to look at that with a grain of salt.
I want to go to John in the car. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fans of both of you.
Hey.
I wish you guys were on 7 days or 6 days or whatever days of the week. I just turned 50, so I'm sure I'm going to sound like an old fart. But back in 1990, I saw the Sixers play the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. The fans were just on Barkley the whole game, and I was sitting near some fans who were actually, you know, swearing and yelling at the guy. And instead of writing a tweet that went on and on and on, Barkley wanted to go in the stands and fight, and if it wasn't for a couple of New York City cops, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, and John, that's the kind of thing. If not fighting the fans, how about just dropping, you know, 44 or 50 points on your former team and making the crowd shut up and eat their words? It's basically what Anthony Davis did to the New Orleans Pelicans fans.
Oh, which was amazing.
On that same night, Wednesday night.
The blank looks on those faces. Oh, it was just
like, that's
great.
The kind of thing. As much as I despise Kyrie Irving, as, you know, just for the act, like, he's still, you know, the handle and everything else, he's still fun to watch. And I don't know, there's a part of me, a sick part of me, that actually would have appreciated if he came in here Wednesday night and dropped 50 and the Nets actually win that game. And it's a, you know, he hits the final shot, the dagger, as the clock expires. And, you know, he gives a big FU to everyone in that building. Like, I don't know, that would have been kind of funny. And it would also show a lot for Kyrie Irving for, like, what his makeup is. Instead, it's just a bitchy Instagram post. And that shows me, like, not only you lack professionalism, like, I don't know if you really take your craft that seriously. When you say that you do, you don't act like you do. But I think that's a better way of going about it. Or, yeah, just fight the fans like Barkley wanted to back at MSG back in the day. That's where the Celtics are going to be tomorrow afternoon. Boy, everything crammed into the Sunday tomorrow. What a pain in the ass, too, because I wish I could go to the Bruins-Montreal game. But no, because got to, you know, make sure I can watch the Patriots-Texans game. But it's Celtics-Knicks tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 tip. We'll touch on that for a few and also take more of your calls as it pertains to this team, and if you have anything left over on Kyrie Irving as well. And his no-show Wednesday, and he did show up yesterday and got dapped up and hugged his old teammates and stuff. I just think that was more of a show for the cameras, but that's just me. We'll get to that and your calls coming up. Final segment of the Sports Hub Celtics Show next here on 98.5.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's really getting there, and most importantly tonight was he didn't have a great first half, but when he came in the second, he was great. So I thought Rob gave us a chance to come back in the game, and the most important thing's not the shots or the post move. It's the kind of the mindset of staying with it when things aren't going your way, and he was really good tonight, and he gave us a chance.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens on Robert Williams, who actually did a pretty decent game yesterday, as Brad Stevens continues to play a shell game to five with Williams, Cantor, Tice. Who's it going to be? Oh, I don't like how you're playing for a couple of minutes. Your ass is on the bench. It just feels like he's still trying to find his way there. So Celtics will be back in action tomorrow with a 3:30 tip at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks, one of the truly the worst teams in the NBA. They're 4-15. They've lost five straight. Reading here a little bit, apparently Kevin Knox was glued to the bench in their loss to the 76ers last night while completely healthy. Their first-round pick in 2018. That team's just never going to get the hell out of their way.
It feels that way.
If there's one thing that until I'm in the grave and in the box, Chris, like, the Knicks are just never going to be good again. I'm convinced of it.
Well, their roster this year, and like, Marcus Morris Sr. is actually having a pretty good year. He's shooting more than 50%. He's knocking down a lot of threes. But it's like, I feel like the Knicks are on a mission to try and field the first all power forward starting five. Like, how many power forwards are on that team?
Yeah.
Bobby Portis, Marcus Morris, Julius Randle. I think Taj Gibson's on that team. Like, how many power forwards do you need? I mean, the roster, like, legitimately doesn't make sense. Like, who's on the roster? It's just ridiculous. And then, you know, there are guys on that team, and it's just kind of a black hole. Like, what the heck's happened to Dennis Smith Jr.?
Yeah. Looking at some of the other stuff going on throughout the league, is there anything that's it does seem like things have started to, the ship has been righted, I guess, for lack of a better term, when it comes to the Bucks and the Lakers,
yeah,
both 110 straight.
I was going to say, both 110 straight. Lakers are off to the best start through 19 games in franchise history. They've matched it 17-2. So that's, you know, I feel like it's sort of the battle for LA right now is the battle for the Western Conference. It's the Clippers and the Lakers. And then, look, the Celtics have had a great start. But you look at some of these other teams around the league. I think the Miami Heat are one of the big surprise teams in the league. Bam Adebayo sort of come out of nowhere to be this really interesting big who can be a facilitator and a passer, but also a rim protector, and he can like handle the ball on the break. He's come out of nowhere. And you look at it, as good as the Celtics have been right now, you look at the standings, they're the four seed. You know, as well as they've played, you have the Bucks ahead of you. The Raptors without Kawhi Leonard have been really, really good. And the Miami Heat have emerged out of nowhere. They have the same record as the Celtics. So I think it's just sort of interesting. And the Sixers are nipping at your heels that I think the East is maybe a little deeper and a little more competitive than we thought it would be.
Yeah, the Raptors being 14-4 and playing as well as they have this season, like I didn't expect that at all. And Siakam last year was a great two.
Yeah,
you know, the Robin to the Batman with Kawhi with that team and their championship run. But
yeah,
I don't know. I thought that they were. I didn't think they would be this good.
That I didn't either. It's a credit to Nick Nurse and obviously the growth of Siakam. You know, and I thought if they were this good, OG Anunoby, who's been pretty good. He's actually shot the three well this year, but I thought maybe he would sort of make the leap. And he's been good, but he hasn't made the leap. It's more like guys like Van Vliet, who's been very good. Powell's been good. You know, they haven't gotten a ton, I think, this year, relatively speaking, out of Kyle Lowry. So they're in pretty good position. You know, as Sean has sort of pointed out a while back, Chris Middleton missed all that time, but he's back now, even though they're sort of bringing him off the bench. And Dante DiVincenzo is in the starting lineup. I think he's an interesting guy for the Bucks in terms of just elongating their rotations. So the East, I think, is a little deeper than we think. The Celtics certainly, I feel like, are a better basketball team than we anticipated, and they're going to be in this thing all the way. And I think you can tab them as one of the favorites in the East, but it's not an easy road. This Eastern Conference lacks the star power of the Western Conference, and I think it lacks the elite teams of the Western Conference. But overall, top to bottom, I think that it's pretty compact and pretty competitive.
How are you feeling about your team, Sean?
I'm feeling pretty good, and I think as far as the, you know, thinking about the playoffs goes, I don't think that the seeding matters so much as it's really going to be about matchups. So, and we've seen it so far. The Celtics, not that one game is what we should be going on here, but the Celtics handled the Raptors. The Celtics handled the Bucks. Can the Celtics handle the Sixers? And that to me, I mean, even though Philadelphia hasn't been really impressive, there's definitely some issues. You know, maybe Brett Brown's not necessarily the best guy to be leading that team there.
They don't have enough shooting.
After the rebuild. But yeah, it's which players are going to be on the floor? Do they mesh together? Is the Embiid-Horford combination all that good? But I do feel like they're a nightmare matchup with their size for a lot of teams, and that's going to be particularly tough if they wind up facing the Celtics. So the Sixers kind of still my fave there. I think they're the other teams. They're not paper tigers by any means, but I feel like in a playoff scenario, I'd be watching out for that.
I think the Pacers would be interesting if Oladipo comes back.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's
is that trending towards January?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where it's trending. And if he's anything reminiscent of what he was before that injury, that's an interesting team with Brogdon and then Miles Turner, Sabonis. That's an interesting basketball team because they have, to Sean's point about the Sixers, there's some size there. With shooting.
All right, I want to do a quick exercise that we did on Felger and Maz earlier in the week, as it because you know, even though the Sports at Celtics show is over, I do want to do another NBA topic with you guys. Just a quick little roundtable on how you would redraft the 2016 NBA draft, because you know Buddy Hield went off, even though the Celtics held off the Kings the other night. Like, what, he dropped 41 in that loss,
11 threes.
Who would you still have? Would you still have Ben Simmons as number one? I want to do that next after the Sports Up headlines here with Sean Silver, among other things, in our final hour of Gasper Murray coming up next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. To get involved.